Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who ran over 10 miles yesterday. It's Richard Herring.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello. Hello, Leicester Square. Good to be back.
You're much better than last week's audience. I've done it wrong again.
Welcome. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square.
Ooh, look at my pickle's falling out.
Welcome to Richard's Leicester Square Theatre. Though I was talking to Barnaby the Bear the other day. Who remembers Barnaby the... Oh, well, more than I thought, actually. I thought I'd found an ideal one that no one... Barnaby the Bear's my name. Never call me Jack nor James. I will find my way to fame. Barnaby the Bear's my name. Remember him? He calls it Rahulastapa. Anyway, Oh, good. No good if you remember it. Ruins it. I'm just being Peter Kay. Hello. Hello, streaming people at home. Lovely to have you back with us. Thank you very much for coming along. And hello to our lovely audience. I did run 10 miles. I've lost a bit of weight. I wasn't going to show you, but I'm going to risk showing you. These are... That's, you know, the adverts they do. I think this was when I was really fat. I bought these jeans, to be fair, but it's not the point. There we go. Hello, welcome. I was just taking my trousers off. Did you hear out on the street? Come on in, quick. There's a man taking his trousers off. It's good. Yes, look, what else have I got for you today? I should say... Oh, look, last Friday I recorded the audiobook to Would You Rather, which is my new book of emergency questions, which is out in October, with Stevie Martin, who's a previous guest on the show. And we did 4 hours of me asking her emergency questions. I'd say it's a touch too long, but it's to be... By the last hour, you don't do 4 hours of it. We're getting a bit tetchy with each other, but it was very good. I thought...
And it's not even the whole book. So do go. If you buy the book, buy the audiobook as well. She's absolutely fantastic did a very good job putting up with my stupid questions. We are selling some books and DVDs in the lobby today, but I will not be signing them because I don't know if you've heard, I had cancer this year, so it means I don't have to do anything anymore. I don't want to do anymore. Do you want to sign? No, I had cancer. I'm not allowed to mix with you. Because I also had chemotherapy. I've had a terrible. I had chemo, so my immune system's really. Thank you for wearing masks, guys. Look, I've never been fitter in my life. It's brilliant. If you want to buy some stuff, there's some books and DVDs. DVDs. Good luck with those. This is my piece of stand-up for this week. I've got my hair cut this week. You've noticed, of course, because I've got Taskmaster next week. I want to look sexy for the Taskmaster. And so on Wednesday, actually. Champion of Champions, very exciting. But I popped into Cafe Nero beforehand in Hitchin, if you want to go and look at it. It was a very slow-moving queue, right? And partly because the only people working there were two trainee baristas. Who was training them? That's what I want to know. If there's no... You can't get two trainees to train each other. That's not going to work. But mainly because they were having some problems with their dishwasher and there was no clean plates in the whole of the Cafe Nero. The man at the front of the queue seemed very affronted by this inconvenience. He was going to buy a toasted sandwich, but it wasn't going to be delivered on a plate, so he gave the toasted sandwich back. And because he couldn't have it on a bag. You're not in Cafe Nero. We've come out of Cafe Nero. We expect a plate. Okay, he didn't have his sandwich. He did have some other stuff. He had quite a large order, so it was taking ages. He was buying pastries and stuff. I was only three customers back, but I waited 10 minutes, and I blamed the bolshy man rather than the polite staff who were doing their best. Finally, the man got all his stuff, though the pastries were in bags rather than plates, and he was cross. I mean, is a paper bag not a kind of recyclable plate? I don't know. He got out a loyalty card. He didn't have one. He got his stamps, and then he said, I want two extra stamps. To make up for the lack of plates. And he was, and the barista kind of laughed at this, assuming it was a ridiculous joke or just maybe scared of the aggression of this late middle-aged man who was doing it, who really loved eating off proper plates. And the man said, I'm serious. He said it seriously as well, to really make it extra clear how serious he was. He said, there were no plates. So the trainee barista had no guidance on what to do in this certain instance. He gave the man two extra stamps to make this weirdness end. The indignant man had gained 2/9 of a cup of coffee. Thus giving himself maybe a reduction of 50p on a future purchase, though he would need to buy 7 more overpriced coffees to get there at a cost of about £25. So I don't know if it was the victory he seemed to believe. He walked away proudly. He may have been the victim of a terrible injustice, but at least he'd held up everyone else and got his sweet reward. I guess when you're dining out like in an establishment like Cafe Nero and are trying to impress your wife of 40 years, you expect certain standards. And if those standards aren't met, you require some satisfaction. Never mind if everyone else in the cafe thinks you're a cunt. You're a cunt with two more stamps that you should legally have. No one can take those away from you. So that's... So, look, let me welcome this week's guest. I'd be interested to know whether he would get... I think I can't work out if he would be complaining about stamps on his Cafe Nero card. I might just talk to him about that for an hour. He is probably best known as Police Officer Panda in Peppa Pig. Pretty good credit. That is a pretty strong credit. Will you please welcome David Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen. David Mitchell. Police Officer Pan. Here he is. Welcome back.
Hello.
Lovely to see you again.
Very nice to be back.
Yes.
Did we have these chairs last time?
I don't think when you were last here we did. They have been with us for a while.
They're great.
They're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah, very comfy.
We splashed out.
Yeah.
I have to take them back home with me. We have to hire a van to take them back. To Hertfordshire at the end of... They let us keep us here for the run, but after that, out of here.
Right.
It costs about £150 every time we transport them back and forth. So they've turned out to be very expensive chairs.
Well, I'm glad I've shown some appreciation. But yeah, nice.
You were last here in, I think the last recording was November 2015, the first time you were October 2012. It seems unfeasible to me that it was 6 years ago that you were last here. But is that because we're older and we've both had young kids and that's, and time just goes vroomf? Or is it?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think now I'm 40, I have to start, 47.
Right.
I find it slightly difficult to remember my own age.
Yes.
And which in many ways is a blessing because it depresses me when I do remember it. But I think when they say about, obviously, I'm probably, unless medical science goes really well, I'm probably more than halfway through my life.
Yeah.
But it may feel like I'm through 85% of it. And that's because they say that, don't they? That each year it feels like the percentage of your life. So when you're 2, a year is half of all time.
Yes.
And when you're 90, it's a 90th of all time.
Yeah.
And so it may be that now it's just going to be a blur now and then the grave.
Yeah.
And that's if I don't die young, in which case it's just, you know.
Well, let's hope you don't. Let's start on a positive note.
I hope I don't.
Let's hope you don't. Yeah. So I'm 54 and I'd like to be 47. Do you think there's a film, you know, they do those vice versa films where a 54-year-old man and a 47-year-old man who are basically quite similar and have almost the same life swap for a bit and go, it's not, doesn't really make much. I'd prefer to be 47 just for the extra.
You just keep waking up and going, oh, my back is just, it's slightly better. this knee, actually, this turns out this knee was already fucked then.
They haven't done that one. They've done nearly every other. I want them to do a vice versa film, and I don't know if this has ever been done, where the people, one of them much prefers what they've been changing, because it's always like they both realise how actually their own life is good and how lucky they are. What if one of them just really, I went back into the body of an 18-year-old version of myself and went, fuck it, I'm not changing. This is definitely better.
Yes,
and I'm not changing.
I have learned that I was, in all of my prejudices, I was right, and this other person is just made deeply unhappy.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Also, there aren't enough sort of, you know, films where the thing that's impossible that happens to someone is quite slight.
Yes,
there are. Always got to be something massive, hasn't it? You know, it's just how about someone who's just can hover 2 inches above the ground? Doesn't make much difference, but it's still impossible. And, you know, it's still worthy of note.
Good. If you had, I'm going to mainly just ask you hypothetical questions.
Yeah. By the way, I'm in favour of the guy in the Cafe Nero.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
He's within what? He's within his rights. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There are no plates.
The dishwashers, there's 2 trainee baristas. You've got
to not blaming the trainee baristas. They've been put in an impossible position by the company. They're the victims in this as much as the no plate man. But it doesn't mean that the no plate man isn't within his rights to go, this isn't fair. The toasty's still massively overpriced. You're going to put it on a bag? You remind me of my own death by doing that. That's what he's saying. You know, I'm here in a Cafe Nero's. It's a chain place. I'm having my lunch in a chain place. It's a mistake. I'm wasting a potential joyous meal here, and you're rubbing my nose in it by the fact that you can't even put it on a fucking plate. And he's trying to get some recompense. He's trying not to feel like a loser by asking for 2 extra stamps. I mean, what he's reduced to is a metaphor for everything that's going wrong in our society. And so I feel tremendous compassion and sympathy for him and for the trainee baristas trying to train each other, trying to invent coffee from scratch.
But you see, I think the manager's going to come back at the end of the day after having gone, sorry, I just left you to train yourselves, and look at the... Slightly too much ink on here. I've looked through their tills. There's a little bit too much ink on what have you done? If I'd been the barista, trainee barista, what I'd have done is I'd gone, because he'd already held everyone up for a long time. Yeah. I'd have gone, all right, mate, I'll just go and wash you up a plate. I'm going to wash you. Go and wash you up for play.
I mean that,
and do it sarcastically, slowly, and waste 25p of that man's time.
Or they could have just washed up a plate, not sarcastically, slowly, just helpfully, so that the person buying a sandwich gets to put it on a plate.
I had a sandwich, and I just
You delighted in the bag.
I had it in the bag. I thought that's quite useful. Serves as a barrier between the table and my food.
Yeah, that's what's unique about bag, isn't it?
It's hard to tell the difference between the bag and the tuna melt that I had. It was quite bag-like in itself. So they put it through that
can
thing.
Be the problem with cheese, though.
Yeah.
It can merge with bag in a way that it doesn't with plate.
So, there's like, I mean, you know, there's some stuff's gone on since we last talked. There's things I want to talk to you about. I've got some emergency questions I wanted to start with. How many cheese graters do you have in your house, David Mitchell? This is my measure of how successful someone has become in their lives. Do you know how many you've got?
Two.
Wow.
Yeah. And
this is how the other half live, kids.
It's quite a recent development.
Is it?
Actually. yes, we bought a second one. Right. But yeah, we had just a normal cheese grater, and then my wife said she'd like a cheese grater that had a sort of thing you could stick underneath it to catch all the grating so you don't just grate on a plate.
Yep.
She said she'd always wanted a cheese grater like that. And she thought that we had been sufficiently wealthy to enjoy that luxury for some time.
Yeah.
And it was perverse that we hadn't, availed ourselves of that.
Yeah.
We finally did, and it's a better form of grater, but we haven't disposed of or given away the first grater.
You could give that to grater someone with could have used a bag.
Yeah.
Could give it to someone with no graters. Sitting there with your two graters. I've got six.
Sorry,
I've got about six graters, I reckon, over in all. Because we've got one of those. We've got like a bowl that you can put in, but we don't ever use it. With different graters. Have you got different graters you can put
in? No, this is just like a standard sort of different sorts of grating on the four sizes of it.
Okay.
But a tub can sort of wedge in to the bottom of it to catch 100% of the gratings that would go on the inside.
Right.
And the outside, obviously, there could be a certain amount of spray.
Sounds like a plate is a better...
It may be that
maybe a regular grater with
a plate.
So
you're very pro-plate suddenly.
A plate that's bigger than the grater would catch all the stuff inside the grater and the stuff that falls outside the grater.
Yeah, but I think there's I don't know, I think there was something about the neatness of the tub that appealed to us. But now you say that, I'm worried it was a big mistake.
Yeah, I think you'll regret it. I can understand why you rushed into it. Do you think, David Mitchell, that I haven't asked many people this question, do you think the photo that will accompany your obituary has yet been taken? Or do you think it will come in the future? It's sort of a way of asking whether you think your most successful thing has already happened or whether it might happen in the next act of your life, but also,
I think it's already been taken.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think with you...
Yeah.
I think you'll get quite a big obituary.
Right.
And I think they'll have more than one photo. So what I guarantee you...
Yeah.
Peep Show. I'm guaranteeing you Peep Show.
I would have thought Peep Show would be the photograph. Yeah.
I think that'll be one of the photos, but they'll go... Someone in the newspaper office will go, no. What about Would I Lie to You? What about...
His Country and Western album.
What about... We don't know. Yeah, we don't know what comes in the future. And you might do something. What about his murders?
The trouble is, the terrible thing is that if I did a load of murders, it would somehow then become inappropriate to still use the photograph from Peep Show. Apparently, you can't be someone who did an enjoyable sitcom and then did a spree killing. We're insufficiently complex as an organism to appreciate that people are complicated. That's actually, I've contradicted myself. I've said we're insufficiently complex to understand that people are complicated.
Yeah.
It's just our media. Our media isn't equal to the task of understanding the full huge complexity and different moods that make up a human being that could allow them in one moment to do a funny joke and in another moment to do a terrible crime.
Well, I hope you will do some crimes or something else in the next 20 or 30 years. Because it could be, you know, it's sort of, sometimes it's someone's very old when they die and they get a very young photo with them and that seems weird. And sometimes, they're old and they don't get young. You'll get two. You might get three photos. I think The Guardian, if it still exists, if a broadsheet paper still exists, a complete page for David Mitchell.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I think that's...
I'm looking forward to seeing
it. Yeah.
But that's not... I once dreamt about my own funeral.
Did you?
Yeah. My grandfather turned up in shorts. I remember I'm watching my own funeral, as it were, from an afterlife, but actually that felt like maybe a hayloft. The afterlife is a sort of uncomfortable place from which you can peer down onto people, is what it felt in the dream. And my grandfather turned up, I can't remember at the time I had the dream whether he was still alive or not. It's not really relevant. But he wore shorts and I thought that's disrespectful.
I had a dream last night that me and my wife were going to an orgy, like a swingers party. And I was quite excited about it. But when we got there, my wife went in and started having sex and said I wasn't allowed to come in. And I wasn't allowed to even watch. And I think... And then she went inside and when she came out, she'd become a lesbian and left me. I don't know where this has come from. But it's bad when in your own dream, like just an opportunity in your dreamscape to have, I got a little opportunity and my wife's there and she's agreed to it in the dream. This is all fine. Even in my dream, I was shut down.
It's a strange word though, dream in that world.
Yeah.
Because dreams are in fact hallucinations over which we have no control.
Yes.
And you know, a nightmare is a dream, isn't it? So your dream thing, your nightmare thing is a subset of your dream thing. That doesn't make sense. I'm living in my dream house. Yeah, there are skulls all over the walls and and they're all being sick because turns out the type of dream thing it is a nightmare. That would be the thing. If the genie, if you've got the wishes, you say, I want my dream home. He'd take the home from your nightmare, wouldn't he? Asshole. Yeah. Always looking to catch you out.
He is.
Terms and conditions, genies.
Now, last time you were on, and this is how long ago it was, you were just about... We hadn't yet started doing Upstart... It hadn't been on any Upstart Crow by Ben Elton, and I asked you, is it shit? And you said... You said you were going to do your very best to make it not be shit. Do you remember that?
I that's the sort of thing I would have said. I didn't want it to be shit,
It wasn't shit, David.
Oh, thank you very much.
Do you want to put that on the poster? It was very good. So you were correct to have the faith in it that I admit I didn't have the faith at that moment and you proved me wrong.
Well, thank you very much for admitting that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I forgot your wrongness because I would have been enjoying the gloating.
Well, I just asked the question. I didn't say I think it will be shit, but I was thinking that. But it's been very successful. But you did a live version of it that started in February 2020.
We did, yes.
That was quite poor timing.
Yes, yes. It was going really well.
Yeah.
I was so worried about doing a show in the West End. I'd never done it before. I was excited, but I thought there's all loads of things that could go wrong. And I was worried about. I was worried about obviously bad reviews. I was worried about not being able to remember all my lines or suddenly drying my lines. I was worried about my knees becoming very painful because it was all on a rake. And I was warned that if you act on a rake, you know, you have to do all sorts of exercises. And I didn't. I was worried about my back because there was a bit where I had to lift some. I was worried about all those things. And none of those worries were realized. None of those things went wrong. We got nice reviews. The ticket sales were good. My knees were fine. My back was fine. What I had forgotten to worry about is the entire West End closing down because of a pandemic for the first time since the 17th century. And so that, by failing to worry about that, I didn't head it off at the pass, and that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a shame.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
you? Is there any plans to revive it, or is it?
We are hoping to put it on next year,
right.
as a kind of a run, a closure run, as it were, to do because it was, we'd done the difficult bit. We'd rehearsed it, we'd done the rewrites, we'd done, you know, it was good, and we knew how to do it. And then we just have to do it lots of times, and all our friends can now come because we're not worried it's shit. It's good. They can enjoy it. We can go out for dinner afterwards. We didn't get that bit, so we want to have that bit next year. Yeah. But obviously now we've got to entirely rehearse it again because we've totally forgotten it. And what if by being 2 and a bit years older, we can't do it anymore?
Yeah, what about your knees and your back?
Well, exactly. They've not got any better.
No.
It wasn't great for my knees and back, the lockdown, because I didn't use them properly.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, you were working very, very hard. It was always hard to... Part of the reason you haven't been on for 6 years is because you've been constantly working for 6 years on proper jobs. You know, you can't come out and do this. And how was that suddenly enforced? I know you would still be writing, presumably, and doing your columns, maybe.
Yeah, a bit of columns. But no, what I didn't do is write any... You know, I didn't think, oh, this is a great time to write a novel or screenplay or any of the things that you tell yourself you're not writing because you don't have time.
Yeah.
I was made to realise, no, I'm not writing them because I don't have the talent or focus or ideas. So you were sort of brought face to face with your own creative limitations, which I thought it seemed like that was adding insult to injury for fate.
What did you do instead during that?
I don't really know where the time went. I checked the BBC News website a lot. I was lured in by all of the more and more frightening stories about how terrible everything was. And then I would, you know, you sort of get into a spiral of thinking, oh, that's worried me, that's worried. And you start looking for stories that will worry you less, that will make you think it'll be okay and things will go back to normal. And they're not there because that's not how they get click through. They get click through by saying, you know, maybe everyone will die. And then, you know, then they say probably everyone won't die, but, you know, maybe. And they, you know, they, you know, this today, one of the circulation of scientists who go on the Today programme has said to worry in this way. And then tomorrow now worry in that way. So, yeah, that, yeah. I did a lot of that.
Yeah. So it's good to be out of the house again.
Oh, yes, yes, very much so, yeah.
I did have Robert on the podcast during lockdown when I was... but obviously, you were filming the second series of Back and then very near to the end, right?
We had several goes at filming it because when we started... Rob had a very, very serious heart condition picked up in the insurance medical.
Yes.
But you never think, when they make you do medicals for TV shows and you think they just don't check anything, but this guy, he saved Rob's life probably. And so he had to have open heart surgery 2 weeks later. So we stopped filming and then started again when he'd recovered from the operation, which all went brilliantly. And he, you know, it was, you know, it's miraculous really. But anyway, we then started filming again in March 2020.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought the annoying thing was that I'd have to do filming in the daytimes with the play in the evenings. Very soon, I didn't have to do either. So that closed down again. And then we finished it off. And this script had been written sort of for the previous era. And then we were filming it in a vast soundstage at Pinewood, so because that's how they could get the insurance, that our set was like a tiny blip in the middle of this hangar.
Right.
And everyone had like huge, you know, the cast went through this route and the makeup went that way. And, you know, and whenever there was a two shot, you had to hold up screens in front of your face.
Right.
And then they'd shoot it twice and sort of splice together the footage. Right. So it was odd. It was a very sort of medicalized environment for trying to do jokes in a pub.
Yes.
You know, at a time when we thought, I wonder if we'll ever go to a pub again. Maybe, you know.
And, well, you know, your double act partner being so ill and nearly dying must be mixed feelings.
Ha ha ha. No, yes, I was very worried about him, yeah. You know. But actually, I, in all honesty, I thought if only it could have been me. I didn't think. I'm very good at sticking my head in the sand about things, and they said no, they're going to do this operation, which you know usually goes okay. So I just heard the word usually as definitely.
Okay.
And so it has proved. So yes. I was right not to contemplate anything troubling.
Very good.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another emergency question. Yeah. Going to be mainly emergency questions.
Yeah.
That's all right. I think this one will be an interesting one for you. I haven't asked this for a little while. If all the museums and art galleries in the world got together and we said we love David Mitchell's work, mm-hmm. and as a reward we want to give him one item from any museum or art gallery in the world that's his to keep, which painting or art, historical artifact or whatever you would like from a museum or art gallery would you choose to accept as a gift?
Can I get something from the cafe?
Yes.
I don't know. I do fancy something actually. Yep. Now I was thinking in general I don't care about stuff.
Yeah.
In that way, I like mugs and the gift. Yeah. We were discussing earlier how it'd be nice if you got a free mug for doing this.
Yes.
So maybe next time I will. So
we'll
I often buy a mug or a Christmas decoration in the gift shop of a museum. But that's no, I wouldn't. So that I can have anything.
Yeah.
I think that wonky helmet from Sutton Hoo.
Yes.
I think that would be good.
You're not the first to say that, but that's also one of, definitely up there with one of mine, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good. Would you wear it around the house or just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, now you say that, I realise I would wear it around the house. Yeah, yeah. And then eventually it would sort of abrade my head and the rust would get in and I'd die of tetanus.
Yeah.
And that would be a fitting end for the person that had deprived the nation of the brilliant helmet from Sutton Hoo.
Yeah, it's good. When we were discussing mugs backstage, you and I agreed that most mugs aren't big enough.
Yeah.
I think that's really true. There's a lot of those mugs you get in... the museums and things are very small mugs.
Mm. But it spoils a museum trip if you're thinking at the end of this, yeah. I'm going to buy myself a mug.
Yeah.
And the mugs are either a bit too small or they're sort of too posh.
Yes.
They're sort of like bone china. And you sort of think, I can't have a normal tea out of that. That's for if the Queen comes. and so it ruins it. And so you just want to be able to have a nice, normal mug. And also you want to be able to buy a Christmas decoration that's themed around the museum but doesn't just have the name of it written on it. It's not very Christmassy, is it? A bauble with National Portrait Gallery written on it. because that's not actually a Christmassy thing. But if they've got like a couple of their more Christmassy portraits on a bauble, yeah, that's nice.
That is nice. I've never thought of buying Christmas decorations at a museum.
Well, I've tried to buy Christmas decorations on holiday in Sorrento.
Okay.
As a nice memory of Sorrento. But in Sorrento, all of the Christmas decorations you can buy have got Sorrento written on it, which is very, very un-Christmassy because it's where I go on my summer holiday. So, or I used to before the end times.
Yeah.
Now I go to Cornwall.
Why do you want a Christmas tree full of all the... It's like a memory of all the places you've been in your life. Is that a nice thing to do at Christmas?
I suppose I like everything on a Christmas tree to have a bit of a story.
Right,
you know, rather than just getting 17, you know, different coloured baubles from Argos.
Yeah.
You sort of go, no, that was that trip to the British Museum. That was, you know, the holiday to St. Maur's or whatever, you know.
I just picture you as a very old man crying at your Christmas as you look at all the lost and forgotten times. Maybe you could put your second grater up there. You remember the time you were grating probably primarily cheese? Even though there's four sides, you don't really use much. You only really use the one side, maybe the small one for Parmesan, right?
Yeah.
No, there's two sides
for
grating.
One of the little bits on the side for the zest of a lemon or lime.
That's all. We've got a separate one of those, so actually I think I've got six. I think we've got six graters, I think.
All right. That means you can zest a lemon at the same time as someone's grating a Parmesan.
I definitely can, yeah.
Yeah.
A specific thing for the job. Mm. Victoria, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
My research is good.
Yeah.
Is on the new series of Taskmaster. You are one of the names that comes up a lot when people are saying who they would like to be on Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to be on Taskmaster?
I think you can infer whether I would from what's happened. I think I wouldn't like to.
Really?
I've been asked to go on Taskmaster and said no thanks.
Okay.
Because I think it's a very good show. I really, that's very funny, but I don't want to be on it. My feeling is, and you were brilliant on it, and you won.
I did.
But I think I'd be shit, but not in a funny way. I think the thing is, I think the fact that people say, oh, you should be on it, is that people think maybe I'd be quite a good sport about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people thinking that will increase if I'm on it. So I've been asked on, Celebrity Mastermind because people think I might be quite good at that. So why would I go on it then? I've got all you can do if you go on it is achieve a situation where people think you'd be good on it because you've been good on it. I'm in that situation already. All I can do is ruin it by going on it and turning out to be considerably more ignorant than people expect.
And Victoria being on it hasn't made you change your mind?
Not really.
Nice,
she did have a nice time, but she really likes games and challenges and puzzles, and I find puzzles puzzling.
Yeah,
and I think if it's not immediately sort of opening up to me a puzzle, I start getting cross and thinking, "What are you saying? I'm stupid." Puzzle. I hated.
That's why you'd be. Imagine you going on and just doing that to Alex. You saying I'm stupid. Getting angry, it would be amazing. Yeah. Anger is the thing that people remember is Daisy May Cooper absolutely losing her shit with me because I couldn't recognise a hippo that she'd drawn, did not look like a hippo. And she's so furious with me. I'm absolutely still scared. I've asked her on this show and she hasn't come on, so I don't know if she's still angry about it. But I think that would be fun. What about Robert is doing Strictly Come Dancing?
Yes.
Do you fancy having a crack on that?
No, I'd much rather do Taskmaster. No, because they have to dance endlessly.
They do. Yeah, right. There's a lot
I'm
of
not
dancing.
Not that keen on puzzles, but they're preferable to dancing.
Yeah.
It's not like you. If it was like, okay, you have a couple of hours practice on a Thursday, then the studio rehearses on a Friday, and then on the Saturday, and they say, well done, then maybe. But instead, it's rehearsing all day, every day, for the whole week, and then they say, that was a bit shit. So no, I think it would be, yeah, too exhausting, and also that I have the aforementioned knee and back issues. Yeah. So you know,
Bill Bailey went on to win, didn't he? It could be your year. Do you think Robert's going to do well on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he can dance.
Yeah.
He won the, you know, the Let's Dance for Comic Relief and stuff. And so, you know, he likes dancing.
Do you ever rewatch him dressed up as that lady dancing around? It's a bit I tell you the Russell...
What, in a saucy way?
Russell Kane dressed... I can't remember what he did, but I remember when Russell Kane did his dance, it gave me some very confused feeling. He was dressed... He was definitely dressed as a lady.
Right, yeah.
Robert wasn't attractive as a lady.
I didn't find him. So.
No,
I thought he was funny.
Yeah,
I thought he did a funny dance.
He was funny,
but
Russell
I don't. I don't rewatch it very often.
No,
but,
yeah. My mum and dad like it. But you know, if you want to impress them,
yeah.
My mum's impressed that you named your daughter after her. So you know, that's Don't need to impress them much more. You apparently own 2 CDs. Is that still the case?
No.
Do you own more than
one? I don't think I ever just own 2. I think I have only bought 2 albums for myself for myself. Mm-hmm. And one of them actually was on a tape anyway. And then a CD. I bought But Seriously by Phil Collins on a tape in W.H. Smith in Corn Market in Oxford in whenever it came out.
Yeah,
when
I mean, once you've got that, not really any point having any other
I thought...
You've kind of got the music, haven't you? You've got music sorted out.
I thought I should buy some music because I was a teenager and I went into W.H. Smith and it was number one. And so that's the one I bought and I listened to it several times.
Yeah.
And it's okay, I suppose. Yeah. And then later I bought Susan Boyle's album in order to write a column about
it. Okay, that was some time later. It wasn't the same day.
Well,
A few decades later.
I was a teenager in the first instance and I was a columnist in the second.
Yeah.
So it's,
I don't really like music either and I don't really... I've bought more than 2 albums.
Yeah. I've bought them as like presents for people.
Yeah.
And people have occasionally given me so that there are more than 2 in my possession.
Yeah,
but it's not going to get any higher now, though, is it?
No,
apparently it's a defunct medium.
It is.
Yeah,
they've seen through us. Mm. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions from the new book. Oh. And these are in the Would You Rather format. The book is called Would You Rather. Mm. We can plug your book as well. This is a Christmas one to start on. Would you rather eat a full Christmas dinner for every meal every day or eat a medium-sized Easter egg every 2 hours for the rest of your life? And let me ratify some stuff for you before you... You would have to finish the Christmas dinner each time. The amount of food on each plate would be ratified by an independent Christmas dinner expert to be an average Christmas dinner size. Now... They can argue about what that might be. And they'd also determine what items were in the dinner. You'd still have to eat Easter eggs at night time, so you'd have to set your alarm to go off every 2 hours. You would not be required to eat the sweets that come with the Easter egg, only the egg itself, but you could eat the sweets if you were hungry. Or just fancied them. You would be allowed to eat other food if you wish. You could have any other food...
alongside either of these scenarios.
Well,
or just
I think in the Christmas dinner one you can only eat Christmas dinner, and the Easter egg one you're allowed to supplement your diet with other food if you feel that just eating Easter eggs.
You can't have breakfast or
breakfast
or
is a it's breakfast
Christmas dinner,
dinner
I say that's like a lunch dinner.
Christmas dinner, breakfast, Christmas dinner, lunch, Christmas dinner, dinner.
But I thought it was one every day.
No, it's three is it for each meal.
Each meal, sorry, 3 times a day.
Yeah.
For each meal. And can you skip a meal?
No. Obviously not. That would make the whole thing
ridiculous. I usually have breakfast now, but in this scenario where I would have to have breakfast.
Yeah. Or an Easter egg. What, a medium-sized Easter egg?
And how, a medium-sized Easter egg, how often?
Every 2 hours. So it's not the night, you know.
The whole thing, every 2 hours.
Yeah, so not the sweets, but I'm talking about the £2.49 size.
That size.
Not the 99p there. But not the massive ones. That'd be crazy.
I mean, yeah. well, I mean, it's not an attractive life choice either way. But I think I'd go Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Three. I love Christmas dinner. And it's quite a... Because of all the trimmings,
yeah.
In a sense, it's because you could probably vary it. Couldn't I'm not saying that I would be permitted not to have all the trimmings at every meal, but you could change the amounts of different trimmings in order to sort of vary. Whereas with the Easter egg, that is one substance that you're endlessly consuming. Whereas, so I'd go for Christmas dinner because it is a range of substances.
Yeah, I think I could eat. I like chocolate. I like chocolate so much. I gave up eating it. I gave it for 2 years. I've just started trying to reintroduce it into my diet, but it's a risk.
Right.
It's a danger because if I had a Kit Kat just as a snack today, it's not many calories, but you eat one and then you go, oh, just now I've had that, I would quite like to eat all the chocolate in the world.
Yeah,
or at least another Kit Kat.
I feel like that about... what are they called? Sausages wrapped in bacon is the name for them.
The old sausages wrapped in bacon. Pigs in blankets?
That's it, pigs in blankets. That I feel I could eat a sort of endless quantity of. I feel I could be a competition-winning consumer of those two differently prepared forms of pork brought together. But I've never felt like that about chocolate. In fact, when I was little, I used to get not as many Easter eggs as people get now, but I would get probably three... quite large Easter eggs every Easter.
Yeah.
And I was aware that it was a thing, good for a child to have lots of chocolate. That's what you want. So I would attempt to save it.
Yeah.
And it would go sort of white and stale before I'd eaten it. Because I thought, well, no, the stitch, because I didn't like the chocolate enough to forego the feeling of wealth.
Right.
Of owning it. So I was essentially a chocolate miser.
But I think we might have found our vice versa film. I think we may have found it because I would literally, every Easter egg I had before breakfast and be sick. And I would hate any kid who had any Easter egg left like a day after Easter.
No, I had kept them for like months, and then I said, I might have a bit now, and then it would be all the taste of the cardboard and had gone all sort of white.
But you see,
on
the
we
would both learn a lesson about the other side. Yeah. You'd be sick immediately and go, oh, this isn't good either. And I'd go, oh, this chocolate's all gone white. This isn't good. Yeah. Neither one is. We're both idiots. Maybe we could both be one person who keeps their Easter eggs a reasonable amount of time and eats a reasonable amount each day.
Yeah, that would be a great climax.
We worked it out. Would you rather have an extra thumb on each hand or be able to shoot poo out of your bum like a cannon? And again, there is some stuff to say about this before we go on. The thumbs would be on opposite sides of your hands to your original thumbs.
Okay.
Give you all kinds of advantages. I mean, you could hold on to something and still have a thumb to manipulate stuff with. I've actually seen... The reason I came up with this, I saw you can buy a mechanical... This is true. You can buy a mechanical extra thumb to attach... to your other side of your hand, which you operate with your feet. That's what it says here. I can't.
In order to seem sexy?
I can't remember. I've written that, but I can't remember that detail as I watched it, so I'm sure that's true. Yeah. That these ones would be actual thumbs, so they are. Yeah. They wouldn't be. You wouldn't need to use your feet to... Yeah. Pump them up, which I'm guessing is what happens. You could, I suggest you could hitchhike in two different directions at once with the same hand. Which you can do already with your two hands. You wouldn't be able to cause any destruction with a poo cannon, but if someone was hit with the poo, they would get poo on them. It would also just be sort of fun as a sort of scatological fireworks show or a tribute at a funeral. But it would require you... I did talk to Stevie about this on my audiobook for quite a long time. It would require you obviously taking down your pants and trousers to shoot the cannon, which she felt was a step too far. She went for the thumbs for that reason.
Well, that would be... That's the thing that I would find embarrassing.
Yeah.
Is the moment when I'm taking my trousers and pants down before people realise the amazing justification for this action. There's about... You know, they're thinking, hang on, what's that? But and then, obviously, they go, wow, of course, I'm so sorry. I doubted you. I thought you were just a pervert, but in fact, you're an amazing shitter. So I would find that an embarrassing moment. And then, so there's a risk that I would never use my superpower because I'd be too embarrassed to take my trousers and pants down in public.
Could you have like a sort of tabard or something that hung down the back with just a hole in there? There's some people who are meant to just have sex through, their religion only have sex through a sheet, right? There's a hole in a sheet. You could have a similar thing with a sort of long...
sort of Velcro, like a Velcro tailcoat thing.
And it's just got a hole in it that you shoot through. When I had my balls scanned before the whole thing began, I was very blasé about it because the doctor basically told me the good news is I don't think this is cancer, but we're going to send you in anyway. So I went to get my balls scanned, and obviously it's kind of, you meet someone in a thing and you've got to take your trousers down. Mm. And they went through quite a palaver. They gave me a gown to wear so I could take off my trousers and pants underneath the gown. And then they gave me some paper towels and told me to put those so I could put my penis and hold them. And so the penis was out of the way as well, but to hold a sort of modesty thing so they wouldn't see my penis and hold my penis sort of on my tummy with these paper towels. Right. Then they just put a load of gel over my balls and scanned it. It just seemed so hilarious to me. They'd gone through it was such a rigmarole to kind of give you dignity. And it's just like a supermarket scanner. It went on for a long time because as it turned, I was just like, yeah, I know it's nothing to worry about. It went on for ages.
Right.
It's taken a long time. Yeah.
And do they have to get gel sort of all over the surface?
I think so. There was a lot of gel there.
Yeah. No, I think, is the research being done so that they can scan balls through trousers? Because that would save all that.
It would.
If the scanner can get through a whole ball
to
see what's going on mid-ball, then surely it can't be beyond the wit of man that it can cope with a few millimetres of chino first.
I guess people could just smuggle the false testicles.
Well, why would it be their interest to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If they were worried there was something wrong and they wanted to appear healthy,
to check that these are your balls we're scanning. And the only way of doing that is seeing if you look embarrassed when we gel them up.
It could be. Well, I was really surprised. There were four people took my name, address and date of birth on the way into this thing. I was going, what, are there people trying to get in? Is there a lot of people just trying to get in to get their balls scanned? There's nothing wrong with it, but there probably are. There was a woman watching in the corner. I thought, yeah. I mean, she said she was a nurse or something, but they probably charge people to come and have a look. He's holding up his cock. Can't see that.
Maybe that's the way, you know, we can fund healthcare.
Yeah.
Is you use the internet to find the people who are specifically in to watching that particular procedure and they end up funding it. Because, you know, that's what we've discovered with the internet. You know, it's like there's the cannibal who gets in touch with the person that wants to be eaten and that all works out. So there must be probably people that what they really want more than anything is to watch colonoscopies.
Yeah.
And so you go, well, there we go. There's your funding solution, you know.
It didn't work out very well, the cannibal eating. You know, the guy who they got in touch with each other and he wanted to be eaten. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. They first of all cut off his penis, funnily enough, as we were just mentioning penises. I'm not saying it's funny to have your penis cut off. Don't take me out of context, Twitter. It's not funny at all. But they took it and they were going to eat that together before.
Right.
And they cooked it up, but it was a bit too tough to eat. So they imagine being the bloke who's going, oh, this is great, this is it, it's all going well, this is what I wanted to do it. Get my cock eaten and eat my own cock with a stranger. Yes, we did. Didn't work out so well. Then he was
killed. No. But I think my system for funding procedures by purely from interested spectators,
yeah,
is not as much open to failure as no. The
obviously it's just the one. It's just one shot in it, because you can't even go. Yes, we exactly. Try again, just a different cooking method.
No, that is the problem with the removal and cooking of penises. Yeah, it's just you know.
Just think carefully about it. Right, I'll ask you another emoji. It's gone dark, hasn't it? It's gone into a dark territory. Yeah. Would you rather have real life VAR, which is, I know you don't like sport, but it's the controversial assisted referee,
right?
And used in football matches where they can replay the game and see what's happened. So you could play back any argument or incident and find out exactly what was said and who was in the right and who was in the wrong with an independent arbitrator making each decision. It might be the same guy who does the Christmas dinner. Or only be able to earn a living as a lookalike of someone famous. Although you'd be allowed to style your hair and wear appropriate clothes, you would not be able to change your face or to look like a famous person. You'd have to have your own face. You would have to choose the famous person you think you most resemble and then only be employable as their lookalike. You can't change your initial decision, even if in later years you start to resemble someone else or if you are much too old to be the person you chose.
And you can't seek remunation in any other way.
No, that's how you have to.
You have to earn your living. No other money is allowed. You can't just top it up with temping or bar work. You've got to know. I have to continue to try and be a lookalike for.
So who would you be the? Who would you be the lookalike of?
I don't know.
It's hard, actually, isn't it?
I'm confused by this one as well, because the video referee—that's like a super. That's a good thing, isn't it? And the other thing is a bad thing. Whereas usually it's either they're both bad, like you can only eat one thing, but differently bad, or they're both good, as in, you know, but this is one's good and one's bad.
They can't all be gold, well, these questions. It's hard coming up with hundreds.
Because with a video referee, you could just not use it.
Yeah.
So I've got my current life.
Oh, I think if you had it, you would have to use it. So if there was any...
Or constantly?
If there was any... If you have an argument with your wife, which I don't know if you ever do, I do it constantly.
Why do you argue with my wife?
I would like... But I, you know, when you're arguing, especially when you're tired, when you've got kids and you can't remember, you've both had no sleep and you're annoyed already, and then you get annoyed about something and then you can't quite remember why the argument started, and then your wife says, and you said this, and you go, I didn't say that. I never said anything like that. Yeah. It would be nice to... And I could go VAR, and we could go back in.
But you have to,
yeah,
every time.
Yeah,
and
every
what
time
constitutes
says.
An argument then? Would it not get to the point where an exchange of remarks that's just a little bit tense, but not overtly confrontational?
I think one of you would have to call for it, but if you know you wouldn't have control over if the other person or anyone you were with called for VAR,
right?
So
then
they could do it. So
then it's
So it's
that's
not necessarily
still hugely preferable to having to earn your living as a lookalike or something. Because I don't.
It depends
think...
if you really look like someone who would do well.
I mean, you tell me. Do I look like?
If you look like the Queen, Jeanette Charles made a living out of looking like the
Queen.
Yeah,
but I don't look like the Queen. Who? I mean, I don't know. Who do
Beyonce?
I...
You could look like.
Yeah, I don't look like Beyonce.
It is most of them are not. I look like Charlie Borman. I don't know how much the.
Yeah.
He's actually only got one testicle as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so if people said, hold on.
Yeah, I only vaguely know what he looks like.
Well, the only problem is he's about 6'3". Right. But apart from that, we're identical.
Right. Well, that could easily...
Yeah,
you know, that could be got. In fact, that makes you potentially a more practical booking than him. Yeah. Because, you know, you're less likely to bang your head on things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I look like I'm like anyone.
Phil Collins.
I look like Phil Collins? I don't. Sorry.
Familiar with his
I am. I'm not sure. Well, I'm familiar with one of his albums. I'm not sure. But I'm not a. He's a drummer, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not a drummer.
Sadly, he can't drum anymore.
I'd be closer to being able to impersonate him. Yeah, no.
He's still touring, but they're doing a final tour with Genesis, and he's going to sing. But his son's going. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. His son's going to do the drumming for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's.
So you know, you could maybe do.
Maybe I could. Does his son count as a celebrity? Do I look like him? No.
Not really. You don't really look like anyone. It's not a very good one for him.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's not good. They've not worked. They've not worked. The emergency questions have not worked. First, I'm going to have to go back.
Am I letting you down?
No, I feel I've let you down by asking you a
that
dumb question.
That feels passive aggressive. I have a very, you know, like many performers, I have very, you know, a very fragile self-esteem. Yes. So, yeah. You know,
You're doing fine. I feel I let everyone
fine.
Down.
I'm going to read negativity into
I feel I let everyone. It's all good. We had Bob Mortimer on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, see, that's making me feel even worse. I bet that was fun.
It was really good fun.
All sorts of crazy things he'll be saying to the amusement of all.
He's very good. And would I lie to you, he's probably the...
Probably better than me, isn't he?
No. I think it's probably the best.
Oh, God.
Now, hey, the thing I want to say to you about Would I Lie to You is I'd forgotten this. It's on Amazon Prime. The first series is on Amazon Prime.
Is it?
Yeah, and I was very surprised by the first series. Do you know why, David Mitchell?
Why?
Because Rob Brydon is not the host of Would I Lie to You when it started, and I'd completely forgotten that. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. In fact,
he's a guest on Would I Lie to You.
He's not a host for the first two series.
Wow.
Yeah. He came on series three. He was a guest on series two,
I think.
And he thought he'd done very... He was supposed to come back as a guest again, and he cancelled because he thought he'd done really badly. Because, as I say, performers have very fragile self-esteem. And, you know. But he hadn't done badly, and then they made him the host of it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Did anyone else remember that? Does anyone else remember Angus Deaton? It was Angus Deaton, but I'd complete... It's a real shock. It was like entering an alternate universe. Because you get so used and so... I love the show. I guess you're so familiar with the show. Obviously not so much that I remember the first two series. But it's sort of like, wow. Yeah.
It's like you're expecting to look at one, but it's like a sort of magic eye thing where your eyes get twisted.
Yeah.
But
I think it's... I'm sure that there were reasons for Angus moving on, but there's... It's sort of... I'm not sure it would have had the longevity with him regardless. You know, I think the triumvirate of you three is what makes it really swing, I think.
Well, it sort of, I think it hit its stride after.
Yeah.
I mean, Angus, it was fun working with him.
Sure,
and he
did
really well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, the BBC decided to change things.
Yeah.
And we have a nice dynamic, the three of us, and it's a sort of lucky thing that's they're easy and difficult to talk to in just the right way. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
But Bob coming on is especially frustrating for you because he's unreadable. I mean, in his book, he puts in a couple of lies in the book and they're very difficult. I mean, I don't know, he won't say what they are, but it's hard to spot because most of the stuff in there is nonsense. What? And you're aware that it's nearly all true.
Yeah, he's had such a weird life, but not like weird in, not like a sort of, it's not even weird in a normal way. It's weird in a weird way. It's not like an adventurous life. It's like it's sort of surreal.
Read his book because some of those might come up, mightn't they? Do they? And then you'll know. And then you'll. Yeah. Have you ever? Do you always get him wrong, or have you got him right?
It feels like I always get him wrong.
It does feel like
all I can remember. The things I can remember is that he does do his own dentistry. I actually can't remember whether Chris Rea put an egg in his part. But
so they could do that one again. I think let's do it again.
I feel I lived so long with that reality. I don't know if it's true.
I do know.
Yeah.
Well, because he writes about it in the book, so I've just read about it recently. But he says he made a mistake early on because he sort of blurted out that Chris Rea had put the egg in his bath the first time it had happened. Was that he'd actually come in rather than just telling him he'd actually cracked an egg into the bath with Bob in the bath, which should probably have been spotted as. What, hold on, that probably didn't happen, right? He didn't come into the bathroom.
No, but I'm sorry, that probably didn't happen. Won't cut it. I mean, this is someone who said they balance some sort of chair on the top of the kitchen surface to get closer to a light in order to perform their own dentistry. And that turns out to be true. At that point, a pop star putting an egg in his bath isn't beyond the realms of possibility.
I suppose. But I don't think it's true. I think that one isn't true.
Right, good. I'll try and hold on to that.
In case there's ever... it'd be quite good to do the same ones again. You've done so many. It's a fantastic show, is all I want to say.
Thank you.
And you are brilliant on it. Not as good as Bob. No, you are. You're as good as... It's I just find it interesting because I really like Angus Deaton as well, and I'm not disparaging him, but the actual just sometimes. It's just the weird, the way that, well, it's not weird, but it's three personalities. And I don't think you knew each other particularly well. Did you know Lee before doing?
No, we met doing it.
And so it's kind of just, you put some people together and sometimes it's just, wow, this is sort of magic.
Yeah.
But you really have a such a great understanding. A lot of those panel shows after the 15th series start to go off the boil a little bit, but it just doesn't feel like it is doing. Do you feel that? It still feels like it's as funny every time.
Well, that's great. I hope so. It's fun to do.
Yeah.
And it's fun to do, and we're quite nervous that it should remain so. We're quite serious about it staying fun, if you know what I mean. Because I think if you start... It's a game, and if we try not to have recordings too close together, and that's it. You know, try and sort of not make it feel like work, and then hopefully that. It remains fun for us, and people who come on have a nice time, and the atmosphere is sort of light and not cross and shouty.
And do you find yourself trying to do strange things in your life so that you can have?
No, I don't. In fact, I feel I ought to, and then I don't.
Okay.
And every time it comes around and they say, so you've got the interview to say, you know, any more interesting true things that have happened, I go, ah, damn. I didn't take up the mandolin. I haven't gone and, farted through anyone's letterbox. I haven't, and so, yeah.
You could do those two quite easily.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take it, we could just get a mandolin tonight and then you could say, I tried to sneak up the mandolin.
Yeah. Would that be enough, just doing it tonight on this?
Yeah. You'd have to say, yeah, I was on the show.
You're confident that neither Rob nor Lee would listen?
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
Pretty confident. Good. I'm gonna go back and we're going to get a good emergency question. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I'm glad that you care. I don't even care. They're not good. Oh, no, hold on. They are good. I'm trying to sell the book. They're really good. I'm sure there was... I'll read you this one and then I'll tell you the story behind this question. Would you rather find a magical land in the back of your wardrobe or be caught up in a tornado? Let me tell you the story behind it. So it's become, would you rather be in, C.S. Lewis or The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
The question was, this book is meant to be suitable for all the family. My original, this is the one thing I put in the book that I was hoping to get through past the editor. I put, would you rather find a magical land in the back of your wardrobe or be sucked off in a tornado? And my editor, who's very sweet, Rhiannon, wrote back and said, oh, when I read that, I almost thought it meant something else. So we maybe should change that. And I went, no, it's on purpose. I was trying to get it through. Would you rather be... I'll ask you, it's a three-part question.
Yeah.
Would you rather find a magical land in the back of your wardrobe, be caught in a tornado, or be sucked off in a tornado? Or be sucked off by a tornado.
I think... Now, well, that would be... I think that could be psychologically damaging to have been aroused to the point of orgasm by a weather phenomenon.
Be good though, wouldn't it?
But I mean, would it leave you desperately seeking that again? I mean, it'd be impossible to achieve.
Well, there are people who chase after.
Is that why they do it?
They are running
to the ones. Quick, stick your dick in the weather. Now, I think I'm probably too repressed a person to properly enjoy being sucked off by a tornado. And obviously just being in a tornado, that would be traumatising. So yeah. I think I'd probably go for the
magical land.
The Narnia magical land.
Would you rather be in Narnia or Oz, do you think? They're both quite nasty places to go
to. Narnia.
Narnia?
It's a much more, British aesthetic. Much more, the lamppost, the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Well,
I was watching, and we've been rewatching The Simpsons with my daughter, which is a great thing to do from the start. And the early Simpsons are so fantastic. Mm. And there's that episode where Mr. Burns has like flying monkeys, and he goes fly, and they all just fall out. They're just, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's just crap full of loads of things like that. Okay, just because I've got to scroll through on this. It's in a book form, it'll be a lot quicker.
Yeah.
What would you rather have named after you? The public toilet in the centre of your town or an embarrassing disease? The toilets would have a big neon sign above them which would say, the David Mitchell toilet.
Yeah.
The embarrassing disease would be mentioned on the news a lot and be caught by about 1 in 4 people. Realistically, you would also have to be the first person to have the disease for it to carry your name. If you have a comment, you might be able to convince people it was the novelist David Mitchell.
It's always a risk. There are lots of David Mitchell, so it's a constant risk that some disease will be named after another David Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think I'd definitely go for the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because apart from anything else, I'm a comedian and there's lavatorial humour. People might think that I'm in control of the joke. Yeah. I might be able to conceal my deep embarrassment. And also when you say in the centre of your town, I live in London. Are we talking, are there loos in Trafalgar Square? I don't know. This is potentially the most prominent lavatory in the country. I think I would go with that and pretend that it just shows what a... you know, a great sense of humour I have, and what a sport I am.
Okay.
And how people should continue to believe that if I went on Taskmaster, I would not reveal myself to be a monster.
So, look, we're going to have to wrap up, but what... Oh, what do you remember about being the police... the recurring character of the police officer Panda?
There's quite a few police officer Panda episodes now, yeah.
It's a good character.
I like it. He's quite a bad police officer, and I like that because that's a proper joke in something that's supposed to be, you know, everything's supposed to be sanitized and isn't it nice for children? They allow themselves these incompetent law enforcement officers, not corrupt. I mean, they could go for darker jokes, but basically he's self-important and thick,
right?
And I think that's not sort of positive representation and sort of endlessly shouldn't we say everything's brilliant?
Yeah.
No, it's funnier to say lots of things are shit. So I'm proud to be part of that process.
Good. And so you should be.
First few stages of millions of children realizing that the world is deeply flawed.
What is there stuff coming up that you can talk about? You've had a book out fairly recently of your newspaper columns.
Yeah, just that was just before the the pandemic.
Yeah.
So you know, it doesn't. It's not that relevant now.
No.
I've got this new series. I've made a new series of a new comedy show called Outsiders for Dave.
Oh yes.
And that starts at the end of September.
Cool.
I've just been watching the finalized episodes and I think it's funny.
Good.
So, you know, that's...
I was going to ask if it was shit preempted...
I don't think it's shit. I think it's funny. I think it's
good. It's unlikely to be shit because the Dave do good shows. So it's,
They wanted something good.
Yeah.
And that's what we tried to make
I like this. I might try that myself now. I might try and make something that's good rather than something that's shit. It might be where I've been going wrong.
Everything you do is good.
Look, it's so lovely to have you back on. I hope we'll get you. I mean, I sort of hope we won't get you back on because it'll mean you're successfully doing all your other stuff. But I hope you'll just fail enough in what you're doing that you have to come back and do another one of these.
Thank you very much.
Before I'm 60, which is how long it'll fucking hell. Yeah. If it's as long as... I'll be over 60 by the time you come back.
Right.
Well, you'll be over 50.
I'll be over 50. But the thing is, over 60, that's starting. The age starts to be a sort of badge of success.
Right.
Whereas 50, that's absolutely... I'm never going to make 100. But I haven't got enough money for the rest of my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the amazing David Mitchell! Thank you very much. We'll be back with Tim Key next week. You have been listening to Rahulastabar with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, David Mitchell. Thank you to Scant Regard, who provide this music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm indebted, of course, to Chris Evans, not that one, and all the people at Go Faster Stripe. It's many, many people working at that industry. And I'm indebted to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you very much. Thank you also to Kathleen McLeagan, who does Rahulastapa, rahulastapa.com, where I get most of my research and reminded of the previous questions I've asked. It's also well worth checking out if you're a fan of the podcast. Lots of fun stuff on there. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Go to GoFasterStripe.com/badges. Become a monthly badger, £3 a month or more if you want, and you get loads of benefits and help us make more podcasts. And you get a membership card and ad-free podcasts and lots, lots more. Do it. Do it now. Do what I say.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to RichardHerring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.